having to get started. I'm sorry about the fact that we don't have a moderator, but I'll do it myself. My name is Simon Pillar. I'm a physician at Cook County Hospital. Actually, it used to be called that. It's called the John Stroger Hospital of Cook County. And I wanted to do this presentation because I wanted to get out to the world one example of how the public hospital system or public healthcare system is being slowly dismantled, at least it would appear to be so. I wanted to give a little synopsis of my experience, credit crisis or crunch is one part of the problems that are going on in the economy that affect the hospital system, but I'm not going to talk about the credit rating of the hospital or anything like that. I'm talking more in terms of a story of what has gone on in recent months or actually years. I'd also like to acknowledge the assistance with some data from Dr. David Goldberg, who's on the medical staff at the hospital and has provided me with some information regarding the services we provide, and I've used some of his data in a few of the slides. One of the things I wanted to emphasize is that I have probably more questions than answers. I wanted to give people an idea of what's going on, and I think from what other presentations I've seen, we're dealing with similar situations in other places, Grady Hospital in Atlanta, for example, and other hospital systems. LA is another example. I have no conflicts of interest at all. This is our hospital. It's a new hospital. It was built in 2002, I think, and it's a very nice building, and they've got some pretty good equipment there. But the situation with staffing and delivery of care has kind of deteriorated in the last few years, and we'll go into that in more detail. This is just a slide telling a little bit about what we're dealing with, and there was a discussion about this yesterday. David Goldberg presented, I don't know if anyone went to his talk, but he got into the very big, great detail about the cuts that have occurred. In the last few years, the county hospital system has experienced significant cuts in personnel and staff, and shutdowns of clinics. There's many issues around that in regarding politics of Cook County, and if anyone has lived in Chicago, they may be aware of the issues of patronage and votes being needed, so you have higher people to get your vote, and there's a lot of that going on. I'm not getting into the detail of that as much as I want to get into some of the detail of what actually is happening to people. This is just a slide that just gives you an idea of what happens when you cut a system. You actually have fall in your revenue. In other words, when you start cutting and you have fewer clinics and fewer patients coming and you have fewer people paying any money, then you have less money. So it's kind of a compounding snowball effect when you start cutting. And that's one of the issues we're dealing with is cutting and what do you do after that. Just to give you a quick idea, in 2005 in the county of Cook in Chicago, which includes Chicago and many surrounding suburbs, they spent approximately $35 billion on healthcare. And I'm not going to specify what healthcare, but in general, it was just a total expenditure. In the Cook County Bureau of Health, it's actually called the Cook County Health and Hospital System, they spent in that same time period $1,215,000,000. So that's just, you can see the relationship between how much is spent on the county. And I'll go to the next pie graph. And this is just a crude example of how it works. You have this being the county expenditures in healthcare, this being the total for the county itself, this being the Bureau of Health, and this being the county itself. So you can see this relatively small percentage of the spending for health in the county is done by the county health system, the public health system. You can see here what the reason I brought these up, and there's other examples. These are more glaring, but the TB cases that are handled by the county of Cook, the Bureau of Health, the one I work for, you can see how much bigger this piece of the pie is. So we do a lot more TB care than the rest of the county does, relatively. Ditto for emergency visits, significantly more. And HIV, we take care of at least a quarter of the total HIV patients in the County of Cook. And also, I might add, we do have patients from other counties that come in because they have very little, if any, services for HIV. So that just gives you an idea of the system and how it may be funded at a certain level, but we actually deliver care beyond that level of funding. Just to give you an idea just quickly about what the system's about, it's set up as a set of hospitals, Stroger being the largest, and there's three other hospitals. This is the jail hospital. It's basically, they're safe. They in fact can't cut them. There was an ACLU suit against the conditions in that hospital. So if you want good health, at least if you want guaranteed health care, I won't know if it's good or not, you go to the jail. And the other two hospitals, one is Oak Forest, which is in the south suburbs. And that has approximately 60 beds, and roughly another hospital called Provident, which is also roughly 65, I think maybe a little more than that, beds. The main hospital, Stroger, about approximately 450 beds. These are situated in relatively underserved areas, Oak Forest in the south suburbs, and this in the south side of the city, in this near the central city. There are about 14 primary care clinics scattered around the county. There's two subspecialty clinics. 2 years ago, when we had a significant cutback in our services, many people were laid off, nurses, doctors, other frontline staff. They shut down several clinics. Of course, access was diminished and disruption of care occurred, and I'm sure people died as a result, although we don't have the figures for that. There's also the Ruth M. Rothstein Core Center, which takes care of, focuses on mainly HIV, but does take care of other infectious disease-related issues like hepatitis. And then the Cook County Department of Public Health, which is mainly dealing with epidemiological issues and immunizations and WIC programs, et cetera. So, yes. Did you have a question? Do you have a question? Yes.
Sorry, I don't know Chicago that well. Yes. Is the county more than just the city of Chicago? Or?
Yes, it is. It's much larger than the city itself. The city only has about just under 3 million. The county itself probably has 6 million people, or 7 or 8, close to that. It's a very large, diverse county. We have people very, very well-to-do, generally on the north shore of this north of the city. Then there's the south suburbs, which I'm actually in a clinic in the south suburbs, and that's where a lot of people that have been disrupted from housing in the city have gone in the south suburbs, and it's a very large area. Okay, now just to give you an idea, recently we have had a change in leadership in the Bureau, and the leadership that it was set up because there were issues around corruption, so-called, and patronage, and they wanted to supposedly get it out of politics. So there was a commission set up to pick people for a new board, an interim board. And now this interim board they're mandated to stay for 3 years, and I think they want to stay longer. So they're trying their best to do what they can to make themselves look good. So they've done many things in the last year and a half or so they've been in existence. And I'll go over the board because I think one of the issues that is the major concern is who is on this board. Now the first person, one of the people they hired is William Foley, who's the chief executive officer of the whole system. He came from California recently. He used to run the Natividad health system in, I think it's near Monterey, California. And supposedly he ran it very well, that they say. There's the top guy in this board is a guy with the name of Warren Batts, who actually used to be president of Tupperware, and he's a big business person, and he also was the president of the American Manufacturers Association on many boards, including the board at the Children's Hospital in Chicago, the private Children's Hospital. Jorge Ramirez, Chicago Federation of Labor, he's employed by that CFL. David Ansel is a doctor at Rush University. Rush University's kind of a symbiotic / parasitic relationship, I would describe, between the county and Rush. Rush is a university medical center, which does a lot of its training at county, but there are issues around how they do that training and how they relate to the county that are somewhat in question. David Ansel is the chief medical officer at Rush. He's also on this board at county. Jerry Butler, He's a rhythm and blues musician as well as a county commissioner. He's the county commissioner that's on the board. I didn't explain that this board is a separate board from the main county board of commissioners. County board of commissioners are for the whole county, not just the hospital system, but also the jail and the forest reserves and the court system. So they're a separate, but they're the politicized opposite group. So he's the one representative from them. Then there's David Garvalo, who's from Illinois Department of Public Health. He's a lawyer. Quinn Golden, she is from the University of Chicago Health Center. Ben Greenspan, who's at School of Public Health. He's a professor there. There's a Sheila Lynn, who's she's the head of the Mercy Hospital, which is a private hospital in the city of Chicago. They call it Mayor Daley's Hospital, I guess, because he was born there, and I think he's connected there, likes them a lot. And then Louis Munoz, who's a private practice in occupational medicine. I think he's on a board of something, but I don't know what. Heather O'Donnell's with the Center for Tax Accountability, and is very much in tune with the finances of the system. And then this last person is Andrea Zoff. She's vice president for personnel of Exelon. The reason I bring these names up is that we have, you know, there are issues, in my opinion, as to the allegiance and concerns about divided loyalty. And I think there's still a concern regarding that. And I'll get into why I think that based on some of the events that have occurred. Okay, now this is what we call a strategic plan. There's a lot we can say about this, but this new board hired William Foley, and William Foley, as well as other people that work with him and the board, proceeded to hire a series of very well-paid consultants, this is my bias. It seems like all the consultants that I've ever seen tell a system to cut and sell everything off. So these consultants were probably not much different. The first set of consultants they hired were a company called Emeras and Marsal out of, I don't know where they're located, but they were hired originally a number of years ago by the Grady Hospital System. They recommended that Grady sell off his clinics and his pharmacy. They ended up not continuing their consulting relationship there, but that's one example of what they had recommended at Grady. Now, they did some studies approximately a year ago, and there are other people in the room that probably remember in more detail, but they did studies about where they gathered data. They said they gathered data. Now, the data they gathered related to what was being done in terms of the clinics and how much work was being done or not being done. And it's interesting. I work in the clinic system as a physician, and I see maybe 15 patients or scheduled for, and I usually see 15 patients on a half day because the day runs very long. So it might be 30 patients in a day, and I take care of adults and kids. This group said that we were only seeing maybe one or two at a time, or something, one or two either every half day, something to that effect. It was some absurdly lower number, yet they were allowed to present their data to the board. Fortunately, people did object, and ultimately that group, that consulting firm was let go. But it's an example of data, if you don't get the right data, or if you have an agenda, in my opinion, then they can use that data to go with what they want to do, what plans they may have. Now, the strategic plan actually has come out very recently. It was this interim board, as well as the CEO, got together at the recommendation of these the most recent consultants. One company is called Navigant, I think, if anyone knows who they are. They made some suggestions about how to cut the system or save money. The problem with the, and again, this is, I'm making some editorial comments, but that's what I'm going to do anyway. Their approach is that you want to save a lot of money and maybe make money out of this system. Unfortunately, the county system is not, you're never going to make money out of a health system that treats people that we are seeing, which most of whom don't even have insurance. Many of them have Medicaid, some have Medicaid, not many, some. Some have Medicare, some have health insurance. Many, if not all, but probably 80% have no coverage at all. So if you think you're going to make money off these people, you got to figure out how you're going to do that. And you're not going to really do that. You're not going to succeed. So that's the kind of dilemma we have, is that recommendations are being made based on trying to get money, but yet what it means is cutting things and making it harder to access care. So this strategic plan is the latest of other recommendations that have been made that have most recently come out from the board. And interestingly, to their credit, or I guess this, you can credit them for this, this board and the chief chief executive officer, Mr. Foley, have had a number of community meetings, town hall forum types of things to let people know what the plan is. They thought, well, this is a good plan, and we wanted to let people know and get their opinion. It's interesting, though, they had a set of forums prior to the formation of this plan last summer, and virtually none of, or very little of what was said in those meetings was translated into the strategic plan. So the strategic plan now is being trotted out, and a new set of forums have happened in the last month around the county. And they've allowed people to speak, and they've allowed people to express their opinion. And in truth, they got an earful, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But I just wanted to point out some of the more interesting aspects of their suggestions. They, one of the things they recommend is hub health centers, which basically they're saying they want to, and I'm translating that interpretation, our interpretation based on reading between the lines, eliminate inpatient care at Old Forest and Providence hospitals. And the other part of that is to perhaps close down several of the outlying clinics, the smaller clinics. In other words, have main hospital clinics in probably Provident, Southside, Oak Forest, and then the Stroger Hospital. And the rest of the clinics can be discarded or leased or something be done with them. But the concept being that they want to save money by having fewer clinics to deal with, maybe laying off personnel, so they wouldn't have to have these clinics be staffed. So one of the things they're doing at the same time they recommend these hub centers is they are suggesting get rid of any inpatient care in two of the hospitals. So patients that are in those hospitals, they'd have to go, if they don't have money, they would end up at Stroger or a hospital in the community that they wouldn't have be able to pay for, but they would end up in the hospital other than Cook County, any other than a Cook County hospital. So it's becoming, you wonder what's going to happen, because county hospital has waiting times of 24, 36 hours in the emergency room to get into a bed if you need admission. So if these hospitals are shut down, the other two hospitals that take patients, what's going to happen to these patients? Where are they going to go? How long is the wait going to be then? So this is not an issue that's dealt with. It's just they feel that it looks good to shut these hospitals down, make them into big clinics. I think glorified urgent care centers, frankly, is what it boils down to, and then shunt people to the main hospital. So the second part of this is partnerships with FQHCs, and this issue here, I have a personal experience with this. I work in Robbins Health Center. It's a South Suburban clinic in a very underserved area. I love my clinic in the sense that I love the patients that we have the most diverse patient population. We have Arabs, we have blacks, we have whites, we have a lot of people who speak Spanish. I mean, every very diverse and very interesting patients. And we are very busy, the people that are working there. Now, in recent years, the leadership of our clinic system has said, well, you don't see enough patients there. Well, I'm already seeing 30 a day or something close to that. What am I supposed to do? Okay, so bottom line is they needed to hire other practitioners, other providers, either a nurse practitioner. We lost a nurse practitioner 2 years ago to the cuts, bring her back, or hire another doctor. They're not doing that for some reason. So there's something going on. Why are you not hiring someone? So what happened was one day I was doing my job, and my boss brought around a group of about 7 or 8 people from a, well, I didn't know who they were until I said, well, who are you? And they said they were from a Christian clinic, I forget the name, in the south suburbs of Chicago. And it turns out they were being given a tour of the clinic. Now, they didn't really talk to me. They didn't really want to talk to me. They were looking at the windows and the doors. Looks like they were getting ready to measure the the stuff for curtains, you know, it's just, they were about, I always thought they looked like they were about ready to write a check for the building. I mean, that's how they weren't really talking to any staff members or any kind of, anyone other than looking at rooms. And so this is one thing that occurred, actually twice. Then, within that time period, one of our staff members' husband met someone in one of the, just informally, their kids go to the same school, met one of the staff members of that clinic, and this person said, oh, we're moving to Robbins November 1st. Well, this didn't happen, needless to say, yet, but it was a couple months before that, and we were wondering, what are they talking about? No one's told us anything about any, like, movement into our clinic. Are we being kicked out? What is happening to us? So that was an interesting telltale sign that there's something going on. Well, one of the things that's being brought up in this plan is so-called partnerships with private entities. And that's one of the issues, I guess, that major thing that has occurred in Grady Hospital, Atlanta. But this is, they're talking about basically either leasing or selling clinics to private companies, such as the Christian Clinic, FUHC. Now, the problem with that is, for one thing, a lot of our patients will not qualify because many of them are so bad off, they really can't afford co-pays of any significance. By the way, our system's talking about co-pays now. They're talking about, they don't charge co-pays now, but they're talking about charging $10 co-pays. A lot of these FQHCs charge much more than that and have raised their co-pays in recent months, recent years. So that's an issue. How are they going to be seen if they can't pay the co-pay? They don't do HIV care. I do HIV care. And how are they going to do HIV care there? The idea was that they would take over our patients and just see them. Well, our patients, many of them will not be seen. Let's face it, they will not be. But no one's telling us anything. We're just getting this information from the grapevine. So so what's ended up happening, so I started asking questions. Even my chief, even my boss, the head of the clinic system, didn't seem to know much, and it sounded like the discussions were going on at a very high level, meaning the CEO and the board itself, rather than the members that work in the clinics. And it turns out that one of the commissioners was actually talking with this clinic, and apparently had some people that they liked in that clinic, and actually was starting to try to make a deal to actually lease the building and told that they would take it over. Now, recently we were, the doctors in the system were unionized, and one of our reps met with this Federal Qualified Health Center, and they openly said to the to a group from the union and one person from the hospital, oh, we're non-union. So it becomes an issue, okay, is this union busting? Because the people, would they be rehired as non-union then with this FQHC? So that issue came up. But we found out, as you know, basically that they were planning really to lease the whole building. So there was an uproar, and there's been a number of people writing letters since then, but this became part of this kind of a upheaval that has occurred, and we get it, and I'll get into a little more detail on that in a minute. Now, they're also focusing on, in this strategic plan, and some of it sounds very good. They're saying we want an excellence, a center of excellence for diabetes and high blood pressure, and I think something else, maybe asthma, and then kind of can't be all things to all people, so we'll focus. And so we'll have centers of excellence, but we may not be able to do everything. So get ready for not doing everything. So that's one of the things that have come up. Now, they have slogans, right service for the right patient at the right time. I'm not so sure if you cut out a clinic or two and people can't get to the new clinic, is that the right place for the patient that can't get there? So these are issues that they haven't, they sound great on paper and logistically, but in reality, when you think on the ground, you have to wonder. So to me, this right services, right patient, right time translates into diminished access, obviously. And then quality, service excellence, and cultural competency. Well, that's all good, and I'm for that. Unfortunately, they just started laying people off. So at the same time they're proposing this, frontline people, including nurses and other staff, are being actually laid off. And at the same time that was happening, they were saying, we don't know who's being laid off. But it's interesting. We go to these meetings and the chief says, oh, we'll give you a list of who's being laid off. That very same evening, people were being given pink slips. So there's a disconnect there. But the point being that they say one thing, they talk about how this is a new program, we're going to really make things better, and yet it's a disconnect. You're laying people off, and the people that we need the most, they want productivity from the providers. We have to do a lot of things that normally might not be done in a private clinic. I have to write many prescriptions, make many phone calls, do much paperwork beyond seeing patients because no one else is there to do it. So they're going to cut those people. It's a strange situation, and it looks like it's not a good one. Now, I just wanted to raise a few issues and this will be open for discussion, how this shakes down, but at the same time, this is happening to us. You know, this is happening to other places, as we know in Grady Hospital, but why is it happening? I think we ought to consider funding issues and why, at the same time, we have more money going to war, to Iraq, to Iran. The bailouts, obviously, just to remind you, not to belabor the point, but and then private versus public option, and then also there's a much greater demand for our services. They want us to do more with less, as the slogan goes. And at the same time, more and more people are losing their jobs. Some of the docs went out and supported a strike of workers in a tool company on the south side of Chicago. That's still on strike for healthcare. Their healthcare was cut off and they actually went on strike, and they've been on strike for a month or two at least. They completely were cut off their healthcare. We've gone down and we're planning on giving flu shots to them and doing what we can as a volunteer basis in trying to guarantee they get services from our county system. But that's one example of what's going on, layoffs and people losing insurance. And in areas such as the South Suburbs where I'm at, where we're really needed, how can you cut that? I mean, there's a much greater need. So that's another thing. And then I point this out, the Olympic bid, that is an example of the plan was to have the Olympics in Chicago. There, everybody was thinking would be going there. I don't know why they would pick Chicago over Rio, which they didn't, so that makes sense. But I'd rather go to Rio. But the thing is that the plan for the Olympics gave them the excuse to gentrify in many areas where they were going to do build Olympic venues, shut down buildings, tear down certain housing. And the people, where do they go when they lose their housing? Well, many of them ended up in the South Suburbs where there's a greater and greater need for help. There's still plenty of people in these areas in the city that are underserved and still need our services. So the Olympic bid kind of brought that to light. What's going on with the transportation system, where they just raised the amount of money it costs to take the public transportation significantly? It costs a lot of money. I talked with a patient that lives in goes to my clinic, and if he has to go to a subspecialty at Stroger Hospital, it'll cost him $14 for public transportation to get from there to the main hospital to get, say, if he has to go to an endocrinology appointment or something. So this is not a small problem. People get sicker if they don't get to these appointments, and then it costs more money down the line, but that's not even being considered at all. So just to point out the Olympics is that an issue. And as I said already, housing is an issue. Transportation in the school system is, there are problems there, as people in Chicago are well aware. The conditions there are not very good, and kids are dying in violent issues around gangs and that sort of thing. And that's, I think, part of the economic situation in the inner city areas, that it's very bad. And then I don't want to gloss over this issue, but racism is key to this whole problem, and that is many of our population that we serve are of minority population, whether it be Black, Hispanic, and that is, I think, a way they can get their ability in to get away with some of the cuts they're doing. Interestingly, a significant number of the politicians that are part of this, the president of the county board, Todd Stroger, who has actually been integrally involved in cuts and that sort of thing in recent years. He's black. His father was the previous county board president he is. So it doesn't mean just because you're black or white doesn't mean you're not going to be doing the cuts and you're not going to play a bad role. Now, interestingly, this recent cutback that has occurred, or this recent suggestion to do cuts in the strategic plan, now the politicians, these commissioners, have looked at that and seen the response, and we'll get into that in a minute, the response to the cuts, and have decided, oh, this doesn't sound good, we better say something against this. So they've actually come out and spoken against layoffs, spoken against some of the suggested cuts. They're trying to jockey for their position. There's an election coming up. Okay, now, as I said, there's people are not taking this line down, and what they're doing at these county meetings are carrying out almost like guerrilla activity, but they're there to present their case of how they're affected by these cuts, and I'll show you a couple pictures in a minute, but I think that is an interesting response to that groundswell of anger and the struggle that people are having in the participation of average staff members or patients. It's been amazing. I've been to a couple meetings myself. I spoke at one, and the response is, the reaction has been very, very exciting and interesting. Just mention that we did form a doctor's union. I think that has helped a little bit to Doctors Council at CIU. I think that has helped us kind of get the doctors together a little bit to fight the cuts as well as deal with issues of patient care. There's been some alliance of the unions, some division between the unions, but there's been some alliance with the unions to fight this between SEIU, the nurses, National NNOC, and then Doctors Council. So, and ASME as well is involved. So there's been some alliance. It's not been great, but it's been some. And then I mentioned this as just a thing to emphasize, and that is Cook County is a very old hospital. It's been around for many decades, started in the 1800s. There's people that have been there many, many years and have stayed there because they care about the mission of Cook County, which is to take care of people regardless of ability to pay. And the feeling is that the people that have been appointed to run it now have been, basically, they are new. They are totally new, most of them, in fact, all of them. And they have very little understanding about our system, about how it works, and what the role this county hospital plays in healthcare in Chicago, and how important we are to guaranteeing the safety net. I think there's an issue behind, I actually glossed over this earlier, but the one slide that said the system used to be called the Cook County Bureau of Health Services, now it's Cook County Health and Hospitals System. I think that's an important difference. They're no longer a Bureau of Health Services, they're a system. I took that as what it means. In other words, they're kind of less of a service providing type of welcoming place. Now, November 4th rally, there was a rally that occurred in front of the hospital on last Wednesday with some hundreds of people, with the unions. That was one event that occurred that people expressed their dissatisfaction with the plan that would, I think, devastate the system. Here's one picture at the rally, just some people that were out there speaking. And just wanted to bring up a couple of things, and then I'll show you a few more pictures, and then we can have some discussion. Amongst all the activity that was going on in recent years, there's been issues of how we would pay for the system. I guess this is the issue that was part of the credit crunch question or privatization. How does this system get paid for? Well, they actually passed a tax increase. I guess you'd call it a regressive tax increase. There's a lot of controversy around it. Cook County now is the highest municipal tax in the country. And there was a lot of recriminations, and they're talking about repealing it now. But that was the reason given was to help pay for the health system. We're not seeing why that could have been, because we're not seeing the benefits of an increased tax level of taxes. And now they're talking about repealing it anyway. But There was a lot of controversy around that, the taxes and how, what happened with that. There's a report out, blueprint for assuring health equity with the National Association of Public Hospitals that I think is an important thing to describe how, what role we should play. I can get it on the web. Again, this paid consultant issue, I think it's something that, you know, if you're paying someone, you have to, I guess basically you feel compelled to believe them or listen to them if you're actually paying them a lot of money, like we're talking at least hundreds of thousands, if not more than that. Whereas you don't need to talk to the people that work there that maybe, I'll talk to them for free, I'll tell them what they need, but they don't ask me. So, well, they didn't ask me, but I did testify and they did hear what I had to say, so I'm glad I did. And it's cooperative agreements. Again, cooperative agreements, what are they about? What is the plan? We already saw in my clinic how they are trying to basically give the clinic away or lease it out. This is a county-owned clinic. Why can't you hire some more doctors and we can take care of the patient? Why do you have to lease it to some private entity? So this is the type of thing that we're dealing with. This is their so-called cooperative agreement. Maybe they have other plans that will work out and are good, but I'm not sure they are. Based on other experiences from other hospital systems. And there was a talk yesterday about Grady Hospital, and I think that's one example of maybe something that's in question about privatization of a county health system. And then down here, just to mention this, there's an Associated Press article. The reason I just mention it is that it was actually an article about how public hospitals will be affected by this healthcare so-called reform and what will happen with that. And the problem, the question is, it sounds like this funding that will be given to this new reform will be taken away from the safety net systems. And that's how that has occurred to some extent in Massachusetts. So it's a very worrisome thing when we're trying to provide healthcare for people, including, I might add, we're the only source for undocumented. And soon, if they have passed this law, it'll be documented people that will be, immigrants that are documented yet not have that five-year period they've been in the country. They'll have to seek care from us, and at the same time, they're going to be cutting us. So it's going to be an interesting roller coaster in the next few years as that if that thing actually goes through in the present way that it's constituted. Okay, this is a guy sitting over here. It's his picture, but anyway, I didn't want to promote this guy, Dick David, but this is just an example of what's going. Just an example of the situation at Cook County. Give me of what's actually happening there. Dr. David's a neonatologist. One of the proposals that they have is to actually cut and get rid of, in pretty much in effect, the OBGYN department and the neonatology and basically pediatrics in general. Because even though they're the highest paying, and you can get the most money from government programs, apparently this is their plan is to farm it out to another hospital like Rush, and that's one of the strategic plan things was to do that. There has been a problem with numbers of patients in the pediatrics ward in the hospital. There has been a problem with numbers of neonatal babies that are in the hospital being taken care of, and maybe more staffing than is required for that smaller group, but. The hospital is a great hospital and they are great providers. Why can't we be more available? Why can't we promote ourselves to get more of those kind of patients? And that way, it not only would be surviving, we'd get more money and help the whole hospital stay afloat. Why isn't that done? So instead, in the strategic plan, they want to shut that whole thing down. So that's one of the things that has come up in this discussion. Illustrate the point I was making. Now, this is a little quick video. I just put it in here because I felt it kind of illustrated the anger and the thoughts that people had. Very good, very eloquent comments from patients and other people as to why these cuts are bad. So it's about a 5-minute video. I'm going to try to put it can't work this thing. I'm going to put it down.
Oakmont Hospital paid management money that was dismantled and also discontinued some valuable services. I'm also representing myself. I'm representing five inpatient, long-term patients at Oakmont Hospital that refused to be put out and put in nursing homes. What you need to do is to take up your foot up. These people are paralyzed. Yes, they do need total care at Oakmont Hospital. Keep them in your prayers because you don't want to go to a nursing home. I don't know how many of you all want to go to a nursing home. So I'm speaking to God.
Can you hear it?
If I wanted help from you, I try to pay it out of my fixed income, which I did not have, $80 a walk. So I went to the free clinic, and they are servicing me. But I'm concerned about hundreds of other patients from Oak Forest Hospital pain management clinic. Where are they? I know what happened to the big massive people that you got rid of inpatient care. That was one of the meetings. I think it was one of the more vocal ones, but definitely there were several of these kinds of meetings, which I attended a different one, and it certainly was quite exciting, the one I attended. So
Just to make, we'll open to questions, and we'll probably, I'm sure we'll be finished quite early, but just to make a point as to what has gone on since this this event and other the town meetings, the chief executive officer, Mr. Foley, who's the guy sitting, was one of the people sitting in front, he actually has said that they actually decided to stop two of the meetings that were occurring because they're trying to reevaluate this strategic plan. That they are actually, sounds like they plan to step back slightly. That may be a negotiating tactic, because I guess you put forward your main argument first and then you're ready to backtrack some to whatever bottom line level you want. So they are still having layoffs, although there's, I guess there's a question, maybe they'll shift some people to other jobs, so maybe a few less people may be laid off, but there's still layoffs are occurring. And again, I think that the response has, I mean, this is the fact, I think that they are hearing that people don't like this, and it's a very embarrassing political situation. That's why some of the politicians have come out and spoken, even the chief president of the county board, Todd Stroger, said he's against the layoffs. But I think that the people that have come out, patients, staff, and these were two patients, and a community member, and other staff, have demonstrated that we can do something and we can kind of fight these cuts, but it's almost like pushing that rock up the mountain. I mean, it's a hard struggle, but it's necessary because it really, people's lives depend on it. That's the thing I'm so amazed about, how 44,000 people, 45,000 now die every year from no health care, let alone those that die from bad health care. It's absurd, and you know, that's, I don't know how they can continue getting away with this. We have to stand up and fight this. So at this point, we're still in a state of flux. But I'd love to entertain questions, or if anyone else has anything, comments to make. If there's anyone here that can shed light on, if they live somewhere else, and is it a similar experience or experiencing it right now, I'd love to hear that, because I think we all need to kind of network or get some ideas together as to how to do this fight. Thanks.